सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदम् पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ ईशावास्यमिदगम् सर्वम् यत्किञ्च जगत्याम् जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः माकृदकस्य श्रद्धनम् कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि जिजीविषेच्छतगम् समाः एवम् त्वयि नान्यथेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे असूयानाम ते लोकाः अन्धेन तमसा वृताः तागुंस्ते प्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति एके चात्महनो जनाः अनेजदेकम् मनसो जवीयः नैनद्देवा आप्नुवन् पूर्वमर्षत् तद्धावतोऽन्यानत्येति तिष्ठत्तस्मिन्नपो मातरिष्वादधाति तदेजति तन्नैजति तद्दूरे तद्वन्तिके तदन्तरस्य सर्वस्य तदु सर्वस्यास्य बाह्यतः यस्तु सर्वाणि भूतानि आत्मन्येवानुपश्यति सर्वभूतेषु चात्मानम् ततो न विजुगुप्सते यस्मिन् सर्वाणि भूतानि आत्मैवाभूद्विजानतः तत्र को मोहः कः शोकः एकत्वमनुपश्यतः सपर्यगाच्छुक्रम् अकायमौरणम् अस्नाभिरम् शुद्धमपापविद्धम् कविर्मनीषी परिभूस्वयम्भूः याथा तथ्यतोऽर्थान् व्यदधाच्छाश्वतीभ्यः समाभ्यः अन्धम् तमः प्रविशन्ति ये विद्यामुपासते ये अविद्यामुपासते ये अविद्याम् उपासते ततो भूय इव ते तमो य उ विद्यायां रताः अस्ति अविद्यायां रताः
Okay. We have not yet gone to the mantra. We are only seeing the introductory commentary Adi Shankara Bhagavad Pada. I said this morning, Shankara Bhagavad Pada quotes first two mantras of Ishavasya Upanishad, stating that first mantra discusses by recommending sannyasa. First mantra discusses jnana yoga for people who know the Atma or who are eligible to know the Atma. Then the second mantra discusses karma yoga for those who are ignorant of the self and also for those who are ignorant of the ignorance. Okay, we saw that in the morning. And now we have moved on to next verse. I said, Ishavasya Upanishad is a Mantropanishad for which there is a corresponding Brahmanopanishad called Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And Shankara Bhagavad Pada, in his commentary, he wants to show that even in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, this division, what division? Vibhagaha. Anayoho Nishtayoho Vibhagaha. The division between these two committed pursuits, the pursuit, committed pursuit of knowledge and pursuit of karma. These two pursuits, two disciplines, which have been discussed, are revealed by these two first two mantras of Ishavasya Upanishad, has also been revealed, brought to our understanding in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. He says that first. That's where I stopped and went. And what is the mantra quoted there? I told you, first Shankaracharya shows us the karma yoga or path of karma being discussed in, shown in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. For which he quotes one line from a mantra from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. This mantra, 17th mantra, occurring in the 4th section of the 1st chapter. What is that line? So kamayata jaya mesyat. This is a mantra. Why does he quote this mantra? He wants to show that the division of two disciplines, Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga, being discussed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, he wants to show. So he quotes this particular line. By this, quoting this line, what he wants to say, Ityadina, by such expressions, so kamayata jaya mesyat, by such mantras ajnasya kaminaha karmani. Ajnaha means ignorant person. For a person who is ignorant of the truth or ignorant of the self, who is also ignorant of the ignorance or ignorant of the self, self-ignorant person, kaminaha, for a person who is helplessly chased by his desires, impelled by his desires, for him, karmani, the performance of rituals has been prescribed. Rituals have been prescribed. Actions have been prescribed. For whom? For the person who is endowed with many desires. And who is the person who can have many desires? Ignorant person. Okay, wherever there's desire, there's an expression of ignorance only. So for an ignorant person who has many desires, for him the path of karma, discipline of karma yoga has been prescribed. And how he quotes one like mantra, so kamayata jaya mesyat. Okay, let me tell you here. This from this line, let us stop here. I tell you. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, like a story, it is presented. There is Atma. Which Atma? Atma without body, mind, sense complex. Just imagine. It's only Arthavadaha. Arthavadaha means what? We only should understand the spirit behind the teaching. We should not take this whole story to be very seriously. We should not take the, what is being said seriously, because it is Arthavadaha. But we should understand the spirit behind what is being said. Is it clear? See, so kamayata means saha akamayata. The same expression saha akamayata comes in other Upanishads also. In Taittiriya Upanishad also comes. So kamayata bahusyam prajayeti satapastapyata satapastaptva. Like that expression comes. There, Ishvara used his will. There the word akamayata means Ishvara used his will. That's what he says, to create. It's a different context. So here, don't take it as Ishvara. The same expression comes here also. The expression saha akamayata, the expression which comes in Taittiriya Upanishad is different. The expression which comes here is different. Same words, saha akamayata. Saha means he, that person, that Atma, akamayata, desired. Which Atma? Atma was alone. Atma was alone. You want to imagine, just imagine, visualize, try to understand how it would have been if Atma was alone. How you are in sleep. How you are all in sleep. When you are fast asleep in deep sleep state, how you are all. Just recollect your experience. How you are. You alone are. No wife, no husband, no children, no friends, no relatives, no mother, no father, no eyesight, no dances, no work, no result, no pain, no pleasure, no trees, no birds, nothing exists. No body, no mind, no sense organs. In sleep, how you are. Just imagine. You alone are. Just imagine. Okay? So, Upanishad says, Atma alone was. When Atma alone was, Atma felt very bored. Very bored. Atma felt very lonely, it seems. Don't ask me. Atma never has any boredom, no loneliness for Atma. It seems. That is a story I said. Now take it seriously. You should understand the spirit behind what is being said. Lonely, bored. So Atma want to have some company. So what Atma thought? Let me get married. Let me have wife, my companion. Jaya mesyat. Jaya means wife. The mantra says, Jaya mesyat. Let there be wife for me So I will not be lonely. I will have companion. Isn't it? Saha kamayata jayame syat. It seems. Then what happened? You may wonder, who is this wife? In fact, the wife is, its next mantra says, mana eva syat atma vak jaya. Okay, mind is the body. Mind is the body, vak jaya, speech is the wife. Who became his wife? Speech became his wife, mind became the body. Mind became the body. Manaha eva syat atma. Atma had this mind as the body, what became his wife. Then what happened? Other children, we are talking about next, we'll go, here mantra doesn't say that. Now we'll understand it more. Pranas became his children. Now Atma is married to mind. Atma is married to, now Atma has sense organs as children, family. Atma has speech, which is wife. Maybe mantra must have assumed, even those days, wife always speaks a lot. So jaya, jaya, vag jaya. And pranas and indriyani became children. Now sukshm shariram Atma assumed. Atma assumed Sukshmahiram means what? That is what? The first family. Atma's family. Now what happened after that? Once you have family, you need what? Once you have family, then naturally desires come. Already desire was there. Desire resulted in possession. Now that resulted in again karma. And Shankaracharya says, where there is ignorance, there alone can be boredom, there alone can be loneliness, there alone can be desire, there alone can be action. There alone can be needs. This is the spirit. What is the teaching here? Wherever you find desires, wherever you find activities, wherever you find loneliness, okay, activities are not denied. We understand. We have to, don't think, oh, I shouldn't do any actions or to become jnani. That's not true. Wherever there is loneliness and boredom, there is definitely ignorance. I feel very bored. I am very lonely. I miss. Means what does it mean? It's an expression of ignorance. It means not being able to be by oneself. Not being able to be with one's own self is loneliness. That's what is boredom. So that's an expression of ignorance. Once there is loneliness and boredom, which is an expression of ignorance, when you are not able to be by yourself, then that is when desire comes. When the desire comes, desire for company, desire for something to lean on comes. And the desire to lean on something, desire for companionship or desire for relationship, desire for company, desire for something, this is an expression of loneliness, which is expression of ignorance. But desire also is expression of ignorance. Once desire is there, desire impulse one, impulse action. Then you do something. Isn't it? Therefore, avidya, kama, karma. Ignorance, desire and action. Avidya, kama, karma. Shankara Bhagavata always likes these three expressions, he puts them together. Avidya, kama, karma. Avidya, kama, karma. Avidya, kama, karma. Because in ignorance alone, please understand, in ignorance alone, loneliness can be. In ignorance alone, boredom will be. What is the teaching given here? If you have knowledge, if you are wise, if there is wisdom, you will never feel lonely. The feeling of loneliness will not be there in wisdom. And the feeling of being bored, the boredom will not be in wisdom. There won't be any pressure of wanting to have a companion, company also will not be there in wisdom. So, therefore, you can just be by yourself. In wisdom, you can be by yourself. And being able to be by oneself is freedom, independence. The Shastram does not say fight with everybody, quarrel with everybody, don't join anybody, go and sit alone by yourself. That is not the meaning here. Please understand. Being alone means, being alone is different from loneliness. Is it clear? See, there are some people who fight with others, quarrel with others, they don't adjust with their others. They want everything their way. Very moody, very cranky, isn't it? And always grumpy, not being friendly at all, and always being alone, walking alone, eating alone, sitting alone, not being friendly. They cannot mix with other people. That is, I'm not talking bad of them, it is some sort of emotional problem, issue. Okay, not able to mix with other people, not being able to be helpful. Not being able to enjoy the help offered by others also. So making their life miserable. That is different problem. But okay, Shastram doesn't talk about it. Being able to be by oneself is being independent. Being independent is independence. Independence is freedom. When is it possible? In jnanam, it is possible. In ajnanam, it is not possible. Okay? In ignorance, not being able to be by oneself is what I told you, loneliness and boredom. That is when you are dependent on something to lean on. Now, I need to lean on something emotionally. Emotionally leaning on something is actually expression of wanting to have some companion. Not only wife or husband, even friendship, even anything. People, when there are some houses and nobody is there at home, actually they will be talking to the dog. Some sick people who sometimes the dog dies, they become very sad. There's only companion. Emotional leaning is so much of pain. I do counsel some people who come and tell me, they come and complain to me. One lady even asked me to come and do puja for her when the dog died. So being kind to a dog is different because you miss the company. It's a very important lesson I wanted to tell you. When nothing is there, people have to watch television. Other people are not at home. I'm alone at home, watch television. Television becomes my companion. Okay, what don't watch television? I have to read a book. My book becomes my companion. Okay, I'm not reading book. I have to call somebody, my friend, and talk to her on the phone. Then I have company. Okay, my friend is my companion when I'm talking to her on the phone. When I'm watching television, that becomes my companion. When I'm reading something, book becomes my companion. I do any work, either puja or japa or cleaning or washing, that work becomes my companion. What is companion? Very important lesson. I was going to take some time. I want to make it very. What is companion? Companion need not be only a human being. Okay? Anything which holds your attention becomes your companion. It can be the book you are reading, it can be the program you are watching, the work you are doing, the person you are talking to, something or the other, anything which holds your attention becomes your companion. Emotional companionship. The person need not be sitting with you next to you physically. Okay? But emotional companionship. Is it clear what I'm saying? What you do, what you watch, what you hear, what you listen to. Like I listen to music or I sing music. I watch some programs or I do something or the other. Sometimes I'm so busy with my work, lot of work I'm doing. That work I'm doing keeps me occupied, engaged. So anything that I do, anything which keeps me occupied, engaged, anything which holds my attention becomes my companion. Which means no human being can ever remain without doing anything. Suppose we ask you, imagine, suppose Swamiji tells you all one day, nobody should move out of your room. You should not think of anything. You should not can breathe, okay? That he doesn't, adatha, he allows you. Then you go away. So only you can do breathing. No watching television, no talking to other people, no telephone, no grooming, no work, no yoga that day. Don't move. Not even move. Okay? Sit like this. Sit like this and you should not see anything. Not watch anything. Not listen to music. No singing. No bhajan. Nothing. No eating also. If nothing is, you're asked not to do anything else. But see, don't take up. See, I'm really teaching you very subtle, something very subtle. Right. You're asked not to do anything else. Suppose Swamiji allows you to eat. You know what will happen? You'll end up eating too much. I don't know what to do. Because Swamiji doesn't allow me to do anything else. Only I'm allowed to eat means you'll be doing all, whole attention will be held by eating. So no eating, no watching, no hearing, no nothing. You should remain quiet. You know what to do? You'll go mad. He keeps you very busy. It's good. Now what I'm saying, it's very important to be busy. That's another thing. That's another topic. But what I'm saying, why nobody can remain without doing anything, even for a second. You have to be doing something or the other. So, that's why family, children, or husband, or wife, or friends, or relatives, or associates, even devotees, there's somewhere we always have emotional companionship. See, anything which holds attention becomes your emotional companion. Even the work you are doing becomes your companion. When something holds attention tightly, then you are lost in whatever holds your attention. That becomes what? Pleasure. It is not possible for anyone to be by oneself. That is an expression of ignorance. When you can be by yourself. Just suppose if you are all wise, even if you are asked not to do anything also, you can just be by yourself. It is possible for a wise person to be without doing anything. You can't sit. You are first learning to sit quietly for some time. That's why all these disciplines, yoga and all, very important. It's all preparation for us to be able to sit quietly. It's not an easy joke. That's why this is the basic nature. Okay? What he says, this Atma was alone, felt bored, very lonely, so wanted to have a wife. So Jaya me syat. Then Atma married. And who was the wife? Walk, speech was the wife. And body, upadina, this mind became the body. Now Atma got family. Sense organs became children. So Atma has got a family. When the family has come, this is only expression of ignorance. Okay, let us see the next words. Next, tell you. Please see the next sentence now. This is to point out that Jivatma, we take it as Jivatma, is Ajnani. Look at this. So kamayata, jayame syat, ityadina, ajyasya, kaminaha, karmani iti. So only for an ignorant person who has desires, for him this karmani rituals have been prescribed. Next sentence. Mana eva asya atma vajjaya. In that mantra, please note, mana eva asya atma. Asya atmanaha, manaha, mind alone became wife. The word atma in the mantra does not mean atma. In this mantra, the Brihadaranyaka mantra quoted here, the word Atma means wife. Okay, her body. Atma means body. So Manaha Eva Atma means what? Mind became the body. Vak Jaya. Speech became the wife. Okay. Where is this mantra quoted from? Same mantra. 17th mantra. In the 4th section of the 1st chapter, is given number is given in the Bhashyam itself. And quoting that mantra, Shankaracharya says, Ityadi Vachanat. Ityadi Vachanat means, from these statements, okay, from these statements, from such statements, which are presented in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, what becomes very clear? Ajnyatvam means ignorance, having ignorance, and kamitvam, having desires, cha karmanishtasya, the person who is, for whom, the person for whom commitment to the pursuit of karma, the karma, the discipline of karma yoga. Karma nishtaha means what? The person for whom karma yoga, the discipline of karma yoga is. nischitam avagamyate, definitely it is understood. Please listen to me. The path of karma, the commitment to the performance of actions, commitment to the pursuit of living a life of karma yogaha, performing actions. This discipline itself is definitely understood. This discipline is for the person who has desires. Why he has desires? Because he is ignorant. Why he has to do karma? Because he cannot stand lonely. He cannot be alone. He cannot be by himself. Ignorant person cannot be by himself. He needs to do karma. Look at this amazing fact, beautiful. Ignorant person has to do karma. Why? He will go mad otherwise. He cannot be by himself. So in those days, in India, they will say, the mind is likened to some pishachi, they used to say. Pishachaha means some devil. The mind is like a devil. The mind, if you have to keep the devil all the time occupied and engaged. If you don't keep the devil occupied and engaged, come and eat you. Okay? If you keep the mind occupied and engaged, you are safe. You are protected. If you don't keep it occupied and engaged, it will eat you. Do you want to be eaten up by the mind, devil, or you want to be protected from the devil? Want to be protected, keep the devil occupied, engaged, give him lot of work. Now who is the devil? Your mind. They'll tell the story, oh, the devil comes and devil will come and eat me. I have to give lot of job, lot of work I have to give him. If you give lot of work, they'll be very happy with the slave. He'll do whatever work you ask him to do. If you don't know how to engage him, he will be a problem. So they'll ask the devil to go and count the sand on the seashore. Endless job. Go to the seashore, start counting the sand. What does it mean? Okay, is it possible to finish the job? Endless. What does it mean? It's a lesson, okay? Which means, the ignorant mind should be engaged, occupied. It must be involved in something or the other. Physical activity needs the mind. Oral activity needs the mind. Mind should be focused in physical, oral activities or mental activity. Some activity or the other is needed. Is it clear? It cannot be by itself. I want you to understand the fundamental problem of emotional need. Why we are all naturally emotionally needy? We are all emotionally needy because of this ignorance. Because of this ignorance. Emotional dependence itself is because of this ignorance. So what Shankara Bhagavatpada wants to convey here is, unless and until you discover yourself, discover the truth, you learn to be by yourself, you will be emotionally needy. You will be emotionally dependent. And as long as you are emotionally dependent and you can't help facing disappointment, suffering and afflictions in life. Is it clear? Better become wise. That is the teaching. What he wants to say here, where there is ignorance, it is very natural for a person to be lonely. One cannot be by oneself. Natural for a person to feel bored. Therefore, it is very important for the person to have natural for a person to have desires. Therefore, it's natural for a person to be involved in activities. Therefore, involvement in activities, desires, etc., which are all expressions of loneliness, the expressions of actually boredom, which is expressions of ignorance. Is it clear? This is the lesson. Did you all expect a very long story from me? No, that's all. Okay, look at this. Ityadi vachanad. Agyatvam kamitvam cha karmanishthasya nischitam avagamyate nischitam avagamyate. So Shankaracharya, first he has made it very clear, it is understood definitely without any doubt that desire, a karma, desire and ignorance are all expressions of for a person who is ignorant, for a person who is has desires, for him the path of karma, discipline of karma yoga is prescribed. It is definitely clear. You see, now that is why always we tell, even children also, when you are raising, when you are growing, we always have to engage them, something or the other. For 45 minutes, crayons. Next 45 minutes, ground games. Something or the other. Whole day you have to keep them engaged. You have to plan. And sometimes give them snack in between. 5 times, 10 times. Because they have to be occupied. If you have not properly engaged them, and they'll do something wrong. The shastram itself, if you do not do, that's why use your will, use your knowledge of right and wrong, choose to do the right actions so that you can avoid wrong. If you do not do what is right, you will end up doing something wrong. That is why we have programs, tight programs, morning 5 o'clock, get up, come for puja, then yoga, then do this, then do this seva. Look after this seva. Why program? If you do not do what is prescribed, will end up doing something wrong. That's why it's called discipline. It's what? Converting the indisciplined mind into a disciplined mind. You have to become disciplined. The raw mind has to become mature mind. How? Only by becoming disciplined. What is the way? Get up 4 o'clock. Come for puja, come for satsang, sit for bhajans, do other seva, do yoga. So you have to validate. Very important. Okay, next. Tathacha, tatphalam, saptanna sargaha. Teshu Atma Bhavena Atma Swarupa Avasthanam. Okay. Okay. Now, this Jiva, Jivatma, who was alone without anything. No body, no mind, no sense organs, nothing. Then the Atma was ignorant. Because of the Atma was, ignorance was. Understand? Atma was alone. You give a name Jivatma. Okay? The Jivatma was alone and ignorance was. Who else were? Atma was, ignorance was. And because of this ignorance, Atma could not be by itself. Could not be by himself. Therefore wanted a companion, wanted to get married, and had body, mind as the body, and speech as his wife. Then what happened now? Then desires have come, now actions also have come. Ignorant, desires were there, so he performs karma also. And as a result of which, now what happens, once you perform actions, there will be results. Once he becomes a karta, he performs actions, what happens? Having the mind as the body, having walk as the wife is not a problem. And this Jivatma has identity with them. Identity with them. And these actions, when he performs actions, results come. And he has to enjoy the results also. That's what is said here. Tathacha. Tatphalam.
Tatphalam.
So, he has to enjoy the results of actions also. Once he performs actions, he has to enjoy the results of actions also. You can't say, I only want to perform actions, I don't want to enjoy the results. That you cannot say. You have to enjoy the results also. That phalam. Now what is that phalam? Here, again, please remember, Shankaracharya now helping his presence here. The karma yoga, the discipline of karma yoga, discussed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, he is presenting here. Now, saptanna sargaha, say saptanna sargaha. Sargaha means creation. Saptan annam means food. Annam literally means food. The food stands for object of experience. Food means not literally food alone, not only what we eat food. Food literally, even though the word annam means food, annam also means objects of experience. Anything experienced is food. Okay. And here, saptanna sargaha. Here I want to stop and again I want to explain to you. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is a big chapter. The fifth Brahmanam. In first chapter, fifth section is called Saptanna. We had Brahman, fifth Brahmanam. There, this Saptanna Sargaha, the creation of Saptan, sevenfold food, is discussed. What is sevenfold food? Let us understand here. And even in Panchadashi, this particular topic of creation of sevenfold food is discussed by Vidyaranya Swami in fourth chapter, entitled as this, where Jiva Srishti, Ishwara Srishti is discussed. So here, what is this Panchanna Saptanna Srishti? Please understand here. First, food. Martyannam. Okay, make a mark it. Okay, Martyannam. Martyaha means a mortal, a human being. Martyannam. Okay, I'm talking about seven. Saptannam. Sapta means seven. Okay, this is very easily presented in Dvaita Viveka Prakaranam, the fourth chapter of Panchadashi also. That discuss actually, Vidyaranya Swami discusses this point taking from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. This is also a very big section. Briefly, we'll see here. Martyannam means food for human beings, or food generally for all beings, living beings, is Martyannam. Then, now Martyannam one, okay. Then twofold offerings, the two offerings, oblations, two oblations offered as food to devatas, during the performance of two rituals. One ritual performed is Darsha Homaha or Purnamasa Homaha. Darsha Purnamasa Homaha. Darsha Purnamasa Yajnaha is the name of a ritual. So given the particular ritual performed on an Amavasya day, a particular ritual performed on a full moon day. And we offer oblations into the fire. Oblations offered are to the devatas. So, when you offer oblations into the fire by performing a ritual, that becomes food for devatas. Okay. So, two rituals are performed. Darsha Purnamasa Yajnaha. And you offer oblations. That becomes Annadvayam. Two Annam. Annam for food for devatas. So, food for living beings, human beings. Then food for devatas, two food, two rituals. Number three, no? Three annam now. Threefold food. Now fourth. So, martyannam, one. See, deva annam, two. Two plus one, three. Threefold now. Threefold offerings. Then, pashu annam. Pashu annam means milk. Milk is said to be food for animals. Of course, it means also offsprings. Food for offsprings, babies or animals. You say milk. Now four, totally four now. Martyannam, one. Then two oblations, number three. Isn't it? Then this Pashu Annam, four. Now what is the fifth Annam? Manaha, fifth Annam. Mind is the fifth Annam. Pranaha, sixth Annam. Then walk, manaha, walk, pranaha. Walk, another Annam. Manaha, mind, walk, speech, manaha, mind, walk, speech, pranaha, prana, physiological functions, okay. These three are also looked upon as food, don't think, just offering. Saptannam means seven things. Why they are called annam? All objects of experience. The food of living beings and human beings is Martyannam. The food offered as oblations to devatas through the performance of two rituals. Darsha Purnamasa Yajnaha. Now the two rituals, about number two. Twofold oblations. So three. And the fourth is what? Milk, food given to animals or any offspring. Four. Then manaha, which is also object of experience, another food. Then walk or speech. Then pranaha, physiological function. Totally seven. These seven are called saptannam. And what is said here, of these seven annams, please listen, let me keep written the word as annam as it is, not translate it, okay. Of these seven annams, the four are said to be sadhanani, sadhanani. Means they serve as means. And next three, manaha, pranaha, walk becomes ends, results. First four become sadhana annani. Next three become sadhya annani. First four become sadhanani. Next three become sadhyani. Ends, means and the ends. What does it mean? Sargana srishti, here, saptana srishtihi, saptana sargaha means, the idea, what is the idea? Please understand. If a person, a jivatma, when we are living in this life, if we give food, giving food means what? If our actions are appropriate actions, if we call punya karma, if we give, share food for other living beings, if my actions are contributive activities, constructive activities, sharing, is it giving, reaching out activities. So if I give food to fellow beings or other living beings, then if I worship the devatas, and if I perform rituals, offer oblations to devatas, it's a punya karma. Isn't it? Sharing, giving, offering food to other living beings and fellow human beings is punya karma. Performing rituals, offering oblations to devatas is a worship, is a punya karma. Isn't it? Similarly, also giving food for other animals is also what? Or other offspring is also punya karma. So if a jivatma, okay, if he does these four annams, given these four annams, then what happens? He earns punyam. As a result of this, offering this fourfold annam, he will have what? He will have next janma, he will have healthy pranas, healthy body, healthy mind, and healthy sense organs. Vak, manaha, pranaha. Healthy, is it now? Everything healthy. Healthy body, healthy mind, healthy sense organs, healthy pranas. What is healthy means what? If you are able to perceive everything rightly, if you can be enthusiastic person, cheerful person, understand, some healthy mind. If you are able to entertain right thoughts, good thoughts, the healthy mind is possible. Why some people have very good minds? Healthy mind. Ajnanam is there, still relatively healthier mind. Enthusiasm, cheerfulness, always compassion, kindness, don't mistake others, right perception. It's all because the healthy mind is a sadhana, sadhyam. Somebody enjoys a good mind, healthy mind, one has earned that mind as a result of the punyam the person has done before. This mind is also what? You enjoy the mind. If you get a good mind, you enjoy good mind. If you have good physical body, you enjoy good health. Whatever you enjoy is what? Food. If you say, suppose I enjoy very good health, means what? Health is object of enjoyment. Isn't it? Anything enjoyed, experienced is here meant by the word food. Annam. Annam is not literally what you push into your mouth. Anything enjoyed is annam. So if you have healthy mind which you enjoy now in this janma, as a result of punyam you have earned in your previous janma, previous activities, okay? Previous life's activities, this mind is annam. It's a sadhya annam. How do you get its result? It's a sadhyam. It's a result. Fruit, as a result, you have earned it. Similarly, pranaha. Not only manaha, pranaha. All functions are happening well. You have good appetite, good thirst. You can eat well. can digest well. There are people who want to eat who can't eat. Very not good health. So you can eat well, digest well, enjoy food. I say good pranas, which means you enjoy good health, which also punyam. You see, some suffering all the time, a lot of illnesses and diseases. You enjoy good health, it's also what? Annam. Enjoyment of good health in terms of having good proper physiological functions happening in the body is punyam, result of punyam. This annam. One annam. Sadhya annam. Sadhya means result. End annam. Okay? Walk. No, some people are of very sweet, pleasant, kind words. They're not people of harsh words. Open the mouth, sometimes people don't want to hear the other person. Better he doesn't open, we think. Somebody opens the mouth means what? They can irritate, they can hurt, they can offend, they can very harsh. Or sometimes lies. But here, if you open your mouth and speak, you're able to speak the truth. And you're not able to tell lies. And if at all you speak definitely, which pleases others. We do not hurt others. Very pleasing words, nice words, kind words. For a person to be a person of kind, compassionate, pleasing, good words, always words of blessing. Is it to have such words? Sometimes people have that. Enjoy that. Enjoy that speech. That they have. Being a person of pleasant, sweet words is also what? Sadhyam. It is a person has earned it as a result of good karma. Why people are very harsh and rude and unpleasant and it's all papam. Papa karma. Is it clear? So what Shastam says here? This walk is an object of enjoyment. Having, being a person of good, pleasant words is an object of enjoyment. That walk has been earned. How come the person has good speech? Means he is a person of good words. Pleasant words, kind words, always very expression of love. It is because the person has some punyam to be a person of such words. That's why it's called vak. Vak is one annam. Manaha one annam. Prana is annam. Good health, good mind, good speech. Well, annam. A person, anything enjoyed by an individual is what? They're all annams. These three annams we can earn, we can enjoy as a result of the first four things. If you share the food for other beings, other living beings, share food for, give food for other beings. Not just food alone. If we live our lives in conformity with dharma. Simple. If we live our lives in conformity with the universal values, what happens? No, we also respect devatas. We are worshipful. We offer oblations. We are performing rituals. If we have done, if a person lived a worshipful life, performing rituals, offering oblations to devatas and giving food to other living beings. The first four annam, isn't it? Martyannam, Devannam, two Devannams. He mentions two particular rituals. Darshapurna yajna. Then pashvannam. So these four are said to be sadhana annani. What does it mean? If we perform them, if we did a good karma in terms of these four annams, then what happens? We enjoy sadhya annani. We enjoy good speech, mind and pranas in next janma. Is it clear? It's called saptanna sargaha. This is what is said to be saptanna sargaha. First four have to be implemented, for the rest three to be enjoyed. Is it clear? Okay. Now Shankara says, saptanna sargaha. So this is what saptanna sarga is, the result of performance of actions. So the person is ignorant, and because of ignorance there is loneliness. Because of loneliness, desires come, and desires result in actions. When the actions performed are good actions, righteous actions, as a result of which the person creates, earns punyam. The punyam results in the enjoyment of everything good. Enjoyment of what? Enjoyment of good body, good health, good mind, good speech, everything. It's called palam. So what does the jiva become now? He becomes a bhokta. Got the point now? How ajnanam, boredom, loneliness, desire, then actions, thereby he jiva becomes a karta. As a karta, and he performs good actions, then he enjoys the results of good karma in the form of enjoyment of everything pleasures. Then he becomes a bhokta. Is it clear? See, punyam also binds you. That's what you should remember. See, Upanishad has its own way of teaching. Are you following? The word saptanam has really made you little feel dull. But let me tell you, if we do good karma, it's the simplest teaching. Because Shankaracharya mentioned saptanna sargaha tatpalam. Creation of sevenfold annam, sevenfold objects of enjoyment. See, saptanna sargaha means what? Creation of sevenfold objects of enjoyment. Creation of sevenfold objects of enjoyment is called what? Saptanna sargaha. That is because of what? This creation of sevenfold objects of enjoyment is the result of the performance of actions. Okay. Now, once the results are there, what happens? Look at this. What he says. Teshu Atma Bhavena Atma Swarupa Avasthanam. He also said Anatma Swarupa Avasthanam. Anyway, once they come, good body comes, good speech comes, good pranas are there, healthy body, healthy pranas, healthy sense organs, everything healthy, and this teshu anne, teshu atma bhavena. Then this ignorant jiva, having identity with those body, mind, sense complex, with those objects of enjoyment. But body is for Atma, body is also object of enjoyment. Body, which is an abode of enjoyment, is an object of enjoyment. Isn't it? Suppose if you are asked to live in a nice house, palatial house, what do you say? You are enjoying that house. Is it clear? No, you are enjoying this place. Object of enjoyment. Your own good healthy body is an object of your enjoyment. Healthy mind is an object of your enjoyment. sense organs are objects of your enjoyment. Good physiological functions are objects of your enjoyment. So the entire body, mind, sense complex becomes an object of enjoyment. Isn't it? Therefore, and these objects of enjoyment Atma has, why? Because of the punyam the person has earned. How did punyam he has earned? Because he performed actions. What actions? Actions in conformity with dharma. Punya karma he has done, like worshipping, offering oblations, sharing food, contributing, with all these good actions. Why did he do it? Because he had a desire to do something. Why did he have desires? Because he had family. Because he was feeling very lonely. He felt bored. Why did he feel bored? Because he was ignorant. There was ignorance. Is it clear? Okay, now, once they have got all of them, Teshu Atma Bhavaha. Teshu Atma Bhavena. Now this Jiva has identity with these Sattanam. With this Anna water he has earned. Teshu Atma Bhavaha. As my wife, my body, my pranas. Isn't it? Isn't it? You say my pranas, my body. You know, has I sense, I am the body. The Atma becomes, the Jivatma has identity with all of them. Has earned them as a result of punyam. Now he has identity with all these objects of enjoyment. Objects of enjoyment are mistaken to be the enjoyer himself. Is it clear now? Atma, the enjoyer, has identity with the objects of enjoyment. He mistakes them for the enjoyer himself. This is what result is all. Expression of ignorance. This is how Ajnanam is. See, Durudharanakam, everything is elaborately discussed. Just to say why karma? Why karma nishta? Why this discipline of the path of karma is a discipline to prepare the mind for jnanam. For the raw head has become a refined head. Raw mind has become a refined mind. Okay, now next. Is it clear now? Hope you are not getting lost. Are you all with me? Okay. Jayadi.
Jayadi.
Yeshanatraya.
Yeshanatraya.
Sanyasena.
Sanyasena.
Cha.
Cha.
Atmavidam.
Atmavidam.
Karmanishtha.
Karmanishtha.
Pratikulyena.
Pratikulyena.
Atmaswarupa
nishthayeva. Atmaswarupa nishthayeva.
Darshita.
Darshita.
Now we are coming to next point. What is the next point now? Interesting. Like this, there are people, very natural for individuals to be, okay? Ignorance is naturally there. We are not creating ignorance. Atma is, of course, eternally, absolutely eternal reality. Atma is. Ignorance is. As a result of ignorance, loneliness is. Boredom is. Therefore, naturally gives rise to desires. And desires result in performance of actions. The actions are good actions. They result in punyam. Produce punyam. When the punyam is there, as a result of punyam. And we have these good health, good everything. We enjoy good body, mind, sense complex. When you have them, what happens? Because ignorance is there, naturally objects of enjoyment the Atma is identified with the objects of enjoyment. The enjoyer is identified with the objects of enjoyment. And what happens afterwards? It continues. He continues to be in samsara. He does good karma, earns punyam, again gets good things, and enjoys, again gets, like he continues to be in samsara. Okay, this one topic is over. Therefore, for such a person who is ignorant, who is impelled by desires, who feels, for him to become refined and to become prepared for jnanam, the karma yogaha, karma nishtha, the discipline of karma yogaha has been prescribed by the shastram. Okay, topic is over. Now, next. Now, jayadi yeshanatraya sanyasena cha atmavidam karma nishtha pratikulyena atma swarupa nishtha eva darshita. There are some other people and who are endowed with the fourfold qualifications, or so there are some people who have understood the Atma. Okay. Atma jnanam is there. What have understood? Atma is satyam, anatma is mithya, mithya is as good as non-existent, mithya is satyam, what is there is only Atma. This fact, there are people who have understood this fact. After having understood the fact through Shravanam, by listening to the scriptures, when they understood the fact, naturally, such people will lose interest in everything. Not because of frustration, because of maturity. For a wise person who has understood everything is mithya and who understood the truth as one's own self, isn't it? For him, naturally, there won't be interest in anything. And for him, this renunciation through knowledge is prescribed. What can he do? He can live a contemplative life. And he can ascertain the knowledge which he has already got, and he can enjoy the benefit of knowledge as freedom. Is it clear? Otherwise, the person who is still ignorant and who has endowed with the fourfold qualifications, the person has already understood the Atma, naturally can be given to the life of sannyasa. He can naturally become free from desire for everything, and he can be contemplative, he can have the ascertained vision. Otherwise, a vividisha sannyasi, the person who has maturity, who has discriminative understanding of what is real, what is not real. Therefore, a person who understood, okay, has dispassion, because of his maturity, what I want is everlasting happiness, and everything else is time-bound in nature. How can time-bound things give me timeless freedom? Isn't it? The person who has such understanding, because of his understanding, he becomes dispassionate towards everything else. And for such a person who is also disciplined enough mentally, for him, vidisha sannyasa is prescribed. In fact, and how it is said in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, you already seen in Ishavasya, isn't it? How this jnana nishta, discipline of the pursuit of knowledge, is prescribed for people who know the Atma, or who are qualified to know the Atma. Okay, sannyasaha. Sannyasa means renunciation through knowledge. So, vidvat sannyasaha means what? A discipline of pursuit of knowledge. otherwise known as Jnana Nishtha or Jnana Yoga. I'm repeating a sentence. The discipline of Jnana Yoga or Jnana Nishtha, discipline of pursuit of knowledge, is prescribed for a person who knows the Atma or who is qualified for knowing the Atma. As a Vidvat Sannyasi, Jnana Nishtha is there for him. As a Vividisha Sannyasi, also Jnana Nishtha is there for him. Discipline of pursuit of knowledge. Only for the person who is not qualified for the attainment of knowledge, Karma Nishtha. This is what is discussed in Brihadaranyakam also. So by telling the small stories, Saptana Sargaha, by talking about it, what Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad makes us understand is how enjoyment of results and the actions and the desires, ignorance, all of them confirm the ignorant person should be given to the discipline of Karma Yoga. Yes, now, let me tell you one thing. See, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there are some statements. Martyalokaha putrena jayaha. One statement. Martyalokaha putrena jayaha. Karmana pitrulokaha jayaha. Upasanaya or upasanena, or another word is used, vidyaya. Vidyaya devalokaha jayaha. Three lokas. Martyalokaha, pitrulokaha, devalokaha. Or swargalokaha, brahmalokaha. Three lokas are there. Brahma lokaha, deva lokaha, swarga lokaha is the highest of the lokas. There is no loka beyond that. That is the highest, topmost of the lokas. And one can go there, and there one can attain jnanam and moksha. He is called a krama muktihi. And there is another loka, pitrulokaha. There also one can go and enjoy heavenly pleasures. Lokas, pitrulokaha is a higher loka, but not the highest loka. But devaloka, swargaloka or brahmaloka is the highest of the lokas. And martyaloka is this world of human beings. It is said, if a person gets married and lives his life properly and lives a life of dharma and he has offsprings, he raises his children properly, he looks after them, takes care of them, teaches the children good values and morals and makes them good individual human beings who become the contributors for society's well-being later on, and such father has earned the punyam. As a result of such punyam, a father can have what? Again, he will be definitely born as a human being. Okay? He will not become frog or snake or monkey. He will not assume another animal deha, inferior dehas. To be born a human being, one must have good punyam, lot of punyam. And that punyam, how one can earn? By living as a good householder, by doing his duty as a father, having good children, raising them as good individuals, teaching, taught them good values and morals, that those children become good citizens and they contribute for society's well-being, the father earns a punyam. That's a punya karma. If such a father has a punyam, which world he will have? He will be born a human being. It's called attainment of martyalokaha. So whoever is interested in coming back to this world, assuming a human body, is called martyalokaha, for which he must have sons. The father must have sons, daughters also, of course. But sons, and he must raise them and look after them and give them everything. And if they become that such a job the father does, he can get what? Martyalokaha. So it is said, putrena martyalokaha. One must have a son, and as a good father, he can, as a result of which, he can get this martyaloka. Please take for a few minutes, and finish it. And next, suppose the person does rituals and he performs rituals, offers oblations to devatas, he expresses his gratitude to Bhagavan who of devatas, performing rituals and offering oblations to devatas, that's called karma, isn't it? By such performance of rituals, by worshipping devatas, a person earns punyam. As a result of that punyam, a person can go to Pitruloka, higher loka. That's where he can enjoy good time, pleasures. So, karmana pitrulokaha jayaha is another statement said where? In Brihadaranyakam. And one more statement. Karmana pitrulokaha. Then, vidyaya devalokaha. Vidya means not knowledge, vidya means upasanam, meditation. If a person is seriously given to the practice of meditation, it involves more effort. And as a result of which, a person earns punyam, and as a result of that punyam, he can go to Brahmaloka. Going where the person need not return, there he can attain jnanam and moksha, which is called kramamuktihi. The three lokas. Okay? Martyalokaha, pitrulokaha, then brahmalokaha. Want to go to brahmaloka, what should we do? Meditation. We practice meditation. We want to go to Pitruloka, what should we do? Rituals, worship. If we want to come back to this world as a human being, what should we do? Have sons. But there are some people, I am not interested in this loka. Mature people. I am not interested in this loka. I am not interested in martyaloka. Then here, so why should I have children? What is the use of having sons or having children if I am not interested in martyaloka? If I am not interested in even pitruloka, what pitruloka? I am not interested in pitruloka. What heaven, big heaven? People come and tell us to make effort to go to heaven. But Vedanta says, oh, what heaven? Isn't it? Why? What heaven? I'm not interested in Pitruloka. Then, such a person will say what? Karmana kim? What is the need for me to do karma? When ritual, I'm not interested in Pitruloka. In Devaloka, Brahmaloka. I am not interested in going to Devaloka. So why should I to practice meditation. So the person who is not interested in any of these lokas, so vidyaya lokaloka, karmana pitraloka, isn't it? Putrena martyaloka. So people who are not interested in these three lokas, the loka yeshana is not there. For such people need not become grihasthas. Grihastha ashramaha is not for such people, not relevant. Therefore he says, Shankaracharya, he says in his commentary, jayadi yeshanatraya sanyasena. See, a person must naturally grow out of desire for these things. When does a person grow out of desire for any of these lokas? Only when a person knows their limitations. These will not give me mokshaha. Jnanam alone will give me mokshaha. Naturally, its understanding of the fact helps them grow out of desire for these worlds. That's how he becomes free from the hold of desire for worlds. Sanyasena cha atmavidam. Atmavidam means for people who have understood the atma, naturally, who are not interested in any of the worlds, for them are also people who are qualified for jnanam as vidishas sannyasis, who want to know the atma. For them, karmanishta pratikulyena atmasvarupanishta eva darshita. For such people, for such mature individuals who have understood the fact that nothing can give them what they want seek in life, jnanam alone will give them freedom. For such people, mature individuals, atmasvarupanishta darshita. Atmasvarupanishta means what? Commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of the nature of the self. Commitment to the pursuit of knowledge has been prescribed, which is this atmasvarupa nishtha means this pursuit of the jnana yogaha, the pursuit of knowledge is opposed to the karma nishtha, which is prescribed. Okay, for such people, which means understand how much it is important to live a life of karma yoga, to prepare our minds. Nothing comes overnight, isn't it? You put the seed, next day the tree won't be there. You have to wait, you have to carefully take care of the seed to grow, gradually to grow, to become a big tree and to yield fruit. See, the mind also doesn't overnight become mature. It needs time. That is why karma yoga is prescribed, is emphasized. It's very important to live a life of karma yoga. Anyway, so if such a maturity comes, then for such sannyasis, what is that? He says, kim prajaya karishyama. Please see the sentence now. Kim prajaya karishyamo. Yesham noyam atma ayam lokaha. I have to stop here. I thought I'll finish the whole paragraph today. It's okay. We'll do tomorrow. Anyway, what I'm saying here, kim prajaya karishyamaha, what shall we do with the progeny? Isn't it? Because I am not interested in martyaloka. Okay, the desire for progeny is possible only if you are interested in Martyaloka. See, having progeny, having children is not as an accidentally because of having improper relationship. It's a events for perpetuation of dharma, progeny. So that's a different context. What I'm saying, kim prajya karishyamaha, what shall we do? What shall we do with the progeny? Now, I'm not interested in Martyaloka. Like this, people who lose interest in lokas. Somebody comes to Bahamas, Nassau, goes to some hotel, pub. What shall we do here? I'm not interested in drinking, smoking. I'm not interested in this dancing. I'm not interested in keeping gambling. So what am I? I'm not interested in all these places. And somebody tells, go to opposite yoga retreat. For a person to turn here, he must lose interest there. The interest is there, he cannot be turned. Is it clear? Exactly like this. If he is going to say, na ayam atmayam lokaha. Okay, you are not interested in Pitraloka, you are not interested in Martyaloka, you are not interested in even Devaloka. What Devaloka? I am not interested. Then which Loka are you interested in? You must be to some Loka. I am Atma, I am Lokaha, Atma, I am Lokaha, Atma, I am Lokaha. Atma, I am Lokha means what? Lokha means Purushartha in this context. Atma is my pursuit. What I want is Atma, not any other Loka. I want Atma. Why Atma? I want Atma means what? I want knowledge. I want knowledge means what? I want to resolve ignorance. Why should you resolve ignorance? In knowledge, I will not feel bored, I will not feel lonely. I will know how to be with myself. See, in knowledge, you will know how to be by yourself. If you want to be by yourself, you must have jnanam. And being able to be by yourself is being independent. Being independent is being free. If you cannot be by yourself, you are dependent. You're dependent means you are needy, you are bound. Okay? Being dependent is bondage. Being independent is independence, which is freedom. Do you want freedom or bondage? Do you want to be independent or you want to be dependent? If you want to be independent, then you must aspire for jnanam. That is the teaching. Okay? So what he wants to say, for the more mature people, they said jnana nishtha. Atma swarupa nishtha means jnana nishtha. The pursuit of knowledge has been prescribed. So Shankaracharya shows us in his Bhashyam this division of these two pursuits, jnana yogaha and karma yogaha, are not only discussed in Ishavasyam, they are also discussed elaborately in Brihadaranyakam. Not only in Brihadaranyakam, in all the Upanishads also they discussed, because These two pursuits are prescribed by the Shveta Shastram for every individual to uplift oneself. We'll come back and see tomorrow, okay? I thought I'll finish it. Okay. Questions. I just wanted to ask one thing. Were you confused about this Saptana Sargaha? Is it clear? Because the word annam should not be really translated. Even though the word annam means food, literally, it means objects of enjoyment. It means we ourselves earn everything. Is it clear? I think I have made it very clear. If you think you are not very clear, or if you are not clear, you need to think. If you are not clear, please feel free to ask me questions. Tomorrow we'll make it much clearer. Today,
Om Samiji. I think I missed something. I don't understand. I think you said that the first four types of food are means,
yeah,
and the last three are
ends.
So I didn't understand
that. Okay, good. I said first four annams are sadhanani, means. The next three are sadhyani. See, all of them are objects of enjoyment. See, if a person involved himself in righteous actions, if a person lived his life in conformity with values. Suppose a person was a person of charitable person. The person shared what he enjoyed. He contributed for the others' well-being also. Without thinking only of himself, as a contributor for others also. So he thought he contributed for the well-being of fellow human beings, wellness, and other beings. That's what said in the form of martyannam, giving food to fellow beings. One expression, giving food means what? Sharing one's what one has means thinking of wellness of other fellow human beings. It means a person must be a righteous person. Isn't it? Next, not only human beings, also we said even involving oneself, giving food for other animals also, or other offsprings. It is said milk, etc. That's called pashu annam. Isn't it? Apart from these two, I also mentioned two annams. Two annams means the oblations offered to devatas by performing rituals. And I may also mention the two names of two rituals. One is Darsha Yajna, Purnamasa Yajna. Darsha Purnamasa Yajna means a ritual performed on a day of Amavasya and Purnima. Some ritual name is, it's the name of a ritual. Don't need to worry about rituals. Name of a ritual. It's only Upalakshanam. What we say, performing a ritual is a worship, Vedic form of worship. Suppose when you keep murtis like this and offer food, oblations, do arati, this is also a form of worship. This is a substitute for Vedic form of worship. In Vedic form of worship means we don't have murtis there, we have everything here. Okay, we also perform rituals. Suppose Ganapati Homa you do, where you don't have pictures there, you have kindle fire, offer oblations. That is the Vedic form of worship. this is a substitute for Vedic form of worship. Why? The forms of worship are different, but the result, the spirit behind the form is the same. Okay, why do we worship? Isn't it? When you share food to other people, help other people, or help other living beings, means that is bhuta yajna manushya yajna. Form worshipping Lord in the form of fellow human beings. I mentioned, which is manushya yajna. You worship when you offer food to other living creatures, don't harm other beings, it is bhuta yajna. Worshipping Bhagavan in the form of other beings. Now, we worship Bhagavan in the form of devatas. Devatas are natural phenomena. Agnihi, Varunaha, Vayuhu, all devatas. Every natural phenomenon, fire, air, space, water, or even jungles, Vana Devata. No, even Parvata Devata, Giri, mountain is God. Everything, every natural phenomenon is looked upon as manifestation of knowledge. It's knowledge for us. Mountain is not a piece of rock, just inert. No. Manifestation of knowledge. Look at everything as manifestation of knowledge. It is called Devata. Devata means, I told you already, isn't it? Then we think, how do we live our lives? Where do we get our food from? It's actually, I was going to talk on the topic of bhakti. Somebody was asking me. But anyway, I'll tell you because I explained to you this. This is not nothing to do with this, what I explained. Anyway, I can explain this to you. See, worship is a symbolic act of offering. If you ask me, what is worship? Worship is a symbolic act of offering. Why? Because we cannot offer anything to Bhagavan. Why? Everything is Ishvara. Everything belongs to Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. Everything is Atma. How can we offer anything to Bhagavan? The offerer himself is Bhagavan. Offering is Bhagavan. What is offered is Bhagavan. Isn't it? Whatever you offer, that is Bhagavan. Act of offering is Bhagavan. The offerer is Bhagavan. The one who is offered to is also Bhagavan. How can you offer? There is no real offering. That is why worship is not a real offering. It is a symbolic act of offering. When you offer, what do? A symbolic act of offering. You are expressing your feeling. Because always anything subtle needs expression. If you have some love for a child who comes and tells you, "Happy birthday, Gyaneshwari." No, I see her, immediately I want to give her a flower. So by giving this flower, you are going to give her everything, big thing. But this act of giving this flower to Gyaneshwari on her birthday is an expression of my care and love and concern for her. Is it clear? I mean well for her. I care for her. And then I wish her well. How can I express that? Through an action. What I feel in my mind needs expression in the form of an action. A child comes and tells you, "Happy birthday, my birthday today." Give a chocolate. Chocolate is not going to give everything. But giving a chocolate is expression of your affection for the child. Like that, we all have gratitude to devatas. We are very grateful to Bhagavan in the form of devatas. You know why? Imagine, we cannot create one grain of rice or wheat or one fruit, one leaf. We will starve without Bhagavan's grace. Is it? So, today we are able to eat food because the sun has to shine, the water must be there, somebody must work very hard, plowing, the plants should grow, isn't it? And it must yield, the harvest must be done, must be cleaned, people have to pack, hand it here to Bahamas export. I just go and give some dollars and buy and come. Nothing comes easily. One made you think all these natural phenomena contribute abundantly for our well-being. The food you're able to eat, first of all, I never like to waste food. Don't yet eat, overeat. But we should be very careful, because every grain, nothing comes easily. So much of effort has gone in. Isn't it? The water, you're very thirsty. You can get water. You're hungry, food is available. Similarly, we want to have a nice building here. To come comfortably sit and listen to Vedanta, we have a nice building here. How is it possible? The wood we have not created, the brick we have not created, the raw material for constructing this we have taken from nature. Isn't it? The bricks or wood or anything, everything, the raw material we have taken, we made use of them, we have considered nice building. Where did you get the raw material from? It's all Mother Nature's contribution. Contribution of Devatas. How much? Abundantly. For my food, clothing, shelter, all my basic needs, we cannot create. We are at the mercy of Devatas. So Bhagavan, in the form of natural phenomena, they're not in a bundle of energy. They're all devatas. They contribute abundantly. Even sunshine. Isn't it? For our well-being. When we think of this fact that my food, my shelter, my clothing, everything is Bhagavan's contribution in the form of devatas. It's not that we give money and buy it. Nothing comes easily. Then we all feel very grateful. There is gratitude. This feeling of gratitude needs expression. So I must think of how much I am blessed with, how much I am given. Then there is gratitude. And that's why worship is a symbolic act of offering. I offer a flower, I offer some water, I offer some food, I offer my prostration, I fall flat. The symbolic act of offering through which I express my gratitude to Bhagavan in the form of devatas, acknowledging their contribution, abundance of contribution for my well-being. What is worship? Short prayer. In worship, prayer is implied. Oh Lord, thank you very much for everything you have given. Please keep on giving me. Okay? So worship, this is worship. That's why Vedic and that yajna ritual we mentioned, now I can why it is a punya karma. It's also worship, acknowledgement of, that's why you have reverence for Bhagavan. You have reverence for every plant, every small insect, everything have reverence. Nothing, look at anything. You don't take any life for, granted. Just have reverence for every life. So this expansion, worship actually helps you expand. This was a punya karma. So that is deva yajna. See, the four words we are supposed to know. Martyannam, Pashvannam, then two Devanams. The four Annams mentioned, actually, they indirectly mention Bhuta Yajna, Manushya Yajna, Deva Yajna. Okay, Pitruvam again they left. The five, three stand for. So these are Punya Karmas. When a person lives, see, one must be sensitive enough to appreciate the fact that I am blessed so much, I am given so much, Bhagavan has given me so much. So for a person to feel blessed, to feel how blessed I am, how much I am given, if you think about it, even good health, that's a different thing. food, shelter and clothing. Basic things, without which survival will be very difficult. How can we survive? Who gives? You do actions, you earn money, buy it, that's a different thing. But if nature fails, we'll starve. Understand? We'll suffer. That is why we say, that's why worship is always the secret. And worship is a will-involved action. And when you worship, you invoke the grace of all devatas. When you acknowledge their contribution and you offer your, express your gratitude through the act of offering, a symbolic act of offering, not really giving anything. Offer, you express attitude there. The attitude is important. Bhagavan doesn't eat anything. We take it back in prasadam and we are eating it. But still, that attitude is important. That's why it comes back, prasada. We offer it as a coconut, mango, or then banana, fruits. You take it, one word, only one word, prasada. Bhagavan's gift. Life is Bhagavan's gift. Food is Bhagavan's gift. Clothing is Bhagavan's gift. Water is Bhagavan's gift. The place I'm living here is Bhagavan's gift. A good friendship, good people I see, Bhagavan's gift. Everything is Bhagavan's gift. This is what makes a person a worshipful person. Okay? A person of sensitivity. Very subtle minded. Naturally appreciates everything that's given. Expresses one's gratitude to Bhagavan through the symbolic act of offering, which is worship. This worship also is a karma. Worship also is what? Karma. Not a jnana. Even it's a good karma, punya karma. So a person earns punya. So what Shastra first says, these three, four annams are sadhanani, means, okay, if a person does that, as a result of which he earns other three annams, sadhyani. You earn punya by worshipping, you earn punya by sharing, by your bhuta karma, by manusha yajna, by bhuta yajna, by Deva Yajna, you earn punyam. It's a good karma. And punyam, how does it express punyam? Punyam expresses itself in the form of your enjoyment of good healthy body, healthy mind, healthy pranas, healthy speech, healthy spirit being a person of pleasant words, etc. Isn't it? It's called Saptana Sargaha. Saptana Sargaha implies what? You know, how we remain in samsara. See, instead of talking about negatively, beautifully it is presented here. Have I made it very clear now? Sadhanani, sadhyani, all of them are objects of enjoyment only. As an object of enjoyment, it is given the name annam, which truly means food. Because I didn't want to delay too much. That is why I rushed today. Rushed in the sense I didn't elaborate on those things. Anyway, it's okay. I made it clear. Is it clear now? Yeah. Saptana Sargaha. Creation of sevenfold annam. Sevenfold objects of enjoyment. Four serve as sadhanani, three become sadhyani. Is all within the realm of ignorance. Why this, all these things are discussed in Brihadaranyakam? Just to say, reveal one fact. Living a life of karma yogaha. Karma yogaha, part of karma, discipline of karma yoga is prescribed for the person who is ignorant, who has yet to become qualified for, has become mentally subtle to understand the subtle teaching. That's all the fact. Finally, okay? What is it? What you are supposed to understand finally is this much. Okay? So it's about the Jnana Yoga. I started it today. I'll come back and continue tomorrow. It's okay? Actually, somebody asked me about bhakti. I said, definitely I'll give a talk on bhakti. Make it very clear. I want to connect all these points. Concept of Ishvara, value of values, significance of worship, efficacy of prayer. I cover all these things I was thinking, but and because your question came up, and I answered. Is it clear?
Yes.
Sorry, today I came rushing. I was just doing Gita class until 4 to my other students. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. May Bhagavan bless all of us, the clear understanding of the teaching. May Bhagavan bless us with the fulfillment of all our righteous wishes. Happy birthday, Shubha Janmadinam, Yaneshwari Ji.